Sí, pa.
I don't want to speak. Oh, God, sorry, technical hitch. Sorry, laptop flying away. Okay, right. Oh, am I? You can hear. Okay, I've got a few people I'm going to ask to do things, like, you know, a few people lined up. But so I just wanted, I did a little, we're doing the three Ps in our cell group. And I shared 1 week about vision, 2020 vision. And I thought, oh, I could expand that for when Louise asked me if I had anything to share. I thought, oh yes, I have actually this time. So I'm going to talk about 2020 vision, and I've got something for Panache and Cecilia to do. Is if you could spot how many words in the little talk I'm going to do that refer to seeing, to sight, to vision, to eyes, to looking, to watching, see how many you can spot. Or if you have a piece of paper, every time something's said, just make a little note. And then at the end, I'll count up and you count up in the week. And then we can see if we got the same. And you might even get a prize. So, or if any adults are bored and want to do it, you're very welcome. Give me something to do if I get boring. Okay, so off we go. Right, okay. Well, I just wondered if anybody had seen the Specsavers advert, which the couple who go to anyway, Trevor's got a clip, so I won't spoil it. It's a very short clip, so he's just going to show it quickly, and it's just a bit of fun. So here we go. All right, Trevor.
Sorry, Jane. I'll get there. It's okay. it's being awkward, as it sometimes is on these occasions. But we'll get there. Okay. Apologies. Here we come. Right. Coming to a screen near you soon, folks. Is that coming through?
Yes.
That's better. So crowded.
Noisy too. Got a cheese one.
It's nice to take the weight off your feet.
What sort of cheese was that?
That's better.
Right. Are we back?
We'll get you back. Okay, we're back with you, Jane.
So that makes me laugh. I just think it's quite funny that, so there's loads of those adverts actually. You can go on YouTube and find them, and it's all should have gone to Specsavers, you know. So they definitely did not have 2020 vision, that couple. But they say 2020 vision is the ideal vision. It's not the most perfect vision, but it's kind of ideal vision. And I think at the start of 2020, we were all anticipating a new decade, hopes and dreams for better things. But actually, it's a year that's taken a course we could never have anticipated or seen coming, Panache and Cecilia. There'll be lots of words like that. So look out for some. And I put some extras in. So there we go. I think from what I'm seeing and hearing, many of us are experiencing our spiritual eyes being opened with greater clarity and new insights into God's truth, both in our own lives and in the world. And I think lockdown has given us time to reflect and refocus. And vision and seeing are not just physical, they are a mental process as well. For example, we say, what is the focus? What does the future look like? What are the changes you've seen? How does the situation appear to you? I saw it with fresh eyes. Sight and vision are also spiritual. The Bible talks about the eyes of our hearts being opened. And in the book of Joel, the younger generation seeing visions and the older generation dreaming dreams. And I think it's the older generation dream dreams because we all snooze a bit more. So we get dreams when we snooze. And I was just reflecting on Saul's conversion. And a light from heaven flashed around him. And as we all know the story, he heard the Lord's voice. But he was physically blinded by the experience, but his sight was later restored. And I think this is symbolic of his spiritual condition. He was blinded in his hatred and persecution of Jesus and followers of the way. And in the process of his personal revelation of who God was, his eyes were taken off his mission to persecute believers and onto Jesus. And his eyes were then physically opened again, and he had a heart change and acknowledged who Jesus was. He's refocused with a life-changing vision, fired with a passion for Jesus and for the kingdom of God. And we all know the rest is history, world-changing history. So I think, yeah, Paul experienced physical and spiritual blindness, and he had both his eyes then opened. There are other verses in the Bible that very clearly talk about vision and seeing. Mark's going to read something from Kings.
Yeah, this is 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 13. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he, the king, sent chariots and horses and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are against. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hill full of chariots and horses of fire all around Elisha.
Brilliant. So his eyes were open to the spiritual realm, and he actually saw that God's armies were greater than the king's armies. There's also in Psalm 119, it says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And in Luke, it says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. That was when Jesus was walking with the disciples on the way to Emmaus. So that actually their physical eyes were opened and their spiritual eyes. And they actually thought, yes, this is Jesus. He's risen. He's with us. And in Acts 28, it says, I am sending you to open their eyes and turn darkness into light. And Ephesians 1, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you will know the hope of his calling and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So all the way through the Bible, there's so many references to seeing and vision and having our eyes open, hearts enlightened. And I think now at the moment, when I watch the news, I can actually feel quite despondent. But then I remind myself that I'm reading and seeing it through the lens of the writer, and often from a very human perspective and dimension. And then when I refocus on Jesus, I'm both encouraged and excited to read his truth and get God's perspective on my life and what's going on around us nationally and internationally. And the International Prayer Council, which is obviously what it says, it's a prayer council of many nations. They just released a huge report saying what actually went on from Passover to Pentecost during the lockdown period. And I can forward it to anybody who's interested, but it just gives so many amazing accounts of what God was doing during lockdown that, loads of people watching, thousands of people watching Zoom calls, prayer initiatives. I mean, it's just extraordinary actually what went on during that time. And there's one testimony here that's right at the end of the report, written by the guy who actually produced the report. And I'll just read it out because it's really encouraging. And I think this is looking at the good news stories, looking at God's perspective of what was going on. In the last 10 days of our prayer season, one team reached an African village and learned that the people were disappointed because their mosques were empty due to COVID-19. The village leaders were encouraged to learn that the team would show a film that night to help people get closer to God. Soon the word spread and everyone was excited. Hundreds of people came that first night, then as many as 400 to 600 for 4 nights in a row. Finally, the team announced they needed to go to the next village and share the good news about how to get close to God. But the village elder came forward and said, "Do not leave. Give us the names of the villages you wanted to visit, and we will bring the people here. We don't want you to leave." This is how the name of Jesus spread to 26 villages in Africa. One night, all the elders of the village came and requested that the Jesus film be played 5 times a day, just like daily prayers in the mosque. But since it's impossible to watch a film during the day, the villagers and the team agreed they would play the movie every 2 hours, 5 times a night. Then just before each showing, the imam would call over the loudspeaker connected to the mosque, "Come, come see Jesus film. Oh people, come and see Jesus, the heavenly God." In the next 10 days, approximately 16,000 committed to follow Jesus as their saviour and are now in house churches. So it's incredible, isn't it? It's wonderful. And the report is all backed up with, you know, it's very, very legitimate and well-researched and links and all sorts of things that you can follow through. So if you're interested, it's a great perspective, and it's just wonderful what God was actually doing in the midst of what was a very difficult time. So, yeah, I think God hasn't given up. We may be giving up and feeling weary and a bit, but, you know, then when's this all going to end? But actually, God hasn't given up or grown weary at all. And he has a hope and a future for us, and actually specializes in working through difficult times and challenges. And I just think to encourage us that to be like Elisha's servant, whose understanding of the battle and what was going on around completely changed once his spiritual eyes were open. And he saw the hills full of horses and chariots and fire around Elijah and God's victory. And I just think, whoa, how cool is that, you know, to actually see what God's doing, have our eyes opened, and not to settle for what we see around us, not to think this is the norm, this is what we're living with, but actually to ask God for his perspective and sort of be ready to adventure with Jesus, because actually that he's doing a lot in the world. And just to encourage us that actually a lot of respected Christian leaders as well, and I've been on various sort of Zoom calls, some of us have, that actually a lot of people feel there's a real harvest coming in the world. There may be challenges, but also there's a real harvest, and that God is really on the move. And to kind of lift our eyes above what we see and what we're living, to actually see what God's doing through this. So we were actually on a call yesterday, and Jamie shared something that I was just going to ask him if he could just share again, because it was really helpful on this sort of theme. Can you, are you unmuted, Jamie, or he's muted? Oh, can I?
Hear me?
Yeah, can hear you now. Yeah.
Can you see me?
Yeah.
Okay, I've lost it. But anyway, so I'll speak. Yeah, when I was growing up, my father had a relic from his days doing national service, and he was in the Royal Artillery. And the relic was a pair of binoculars, a little bit like this pair here. And I don't know, it's just a very strong memory of my childhood, is this pair of binoculars. And I used to think of my father kind of looking out over the landscape, looking out, if you like, looking out over a battlefield with his pair of binoculars. And yesterday the Lord gave me a picture about a pair of binoculars in terms of how we see the world. And as you know, binoculars are extraordinary things, that you put two eyes on two different tubes. But you don't get two pictures. When you look through the binoculars, all you can see is one picture, because magically your brain turns it into just the one thing. And what the Lord was showing to me was that for many of us, for so long, because Christianity has been so much part of our culture, that as we've looked at the landscape of our nation, we have only really seen one picture. We've been looking with two eyes, a spiritual and a secular eye, but we've only ever really seen one thing, because the difference hasn't actually been that great. Our culture has been so Christian. But what's going to happen over this next season, these next days, however long that is that, as you know, if you pull binoculars apart. The eyepieces go too far and they don't fit on your eyes any longer, so you can't just see one picture. And you have to make a choice as to which of the two lenses you're going to look through. And you're still looking at the same picture. But what the Lord was saying to me was that it's going to become really obvious, depending on which lens we look through, what we see. And if we look through the secular lens, it's not going to be pretty, it's not going to be ugly, but it is what we will think and what we will believe. But if we look through God's spiritual lens, still looking at the same area, the same battlefield, if you like, in front of us, but it will look different and we will see different things. And God will make the choice very, very obvious to us as to which lens we should look through. And one, in a sense, will be offensive and ugly, but the other one, we will see the pain, but it will be God's kind of beauty and God's order and abundance, God's story of what he is doing. And depending on which lens we decide to look through, so that will determine the choices that we make in terms of how we respond to what we're looking at. So we can look through the secular lens and kind of respond with all the kind of secular ways of responding to things, some of which are good and they're fine, but they're not necessarily filled with God. Or we can look through God's lens and see things as God sees things and respond as God wants us to respond to what we're looking at.
Brilliant. Thanks. Thanks, Jamie. That's amazing. I mean, it's great. Wonderful. Really helpful. So I think, couldn't believe it when Jamie shared that yesterday. I thought, oh my goodness, must ask Jamie to share that. It's fantastic. When God starts speaking to us, you know, in similar ways about his vision and, you know, what he's going to show us. And so just quickly in closing, just I think God gives us visions and the way we see things in different ways, a bit depending on our personality. For me, I tend to see in pictures. For other people, it may be seeing things like through the eyes of your heart, having enlightenment through reading in the Bible or a book or hearing a sermon. Suddenly you have that light bulb moment when something becomes alive and the light comes on. So I think God does speak to us in different ways, and we do see and experience spiritual things in different ways. I just to give a quick personal testimony, and then I'll wind up. But for me, because I do see things in pictures, and I kind of, that's how my mind seems to work. There was a group of us, and we were praying for a debate recently that was going on in Parliament. And I had a picture, a very clear picture of an angel actually reaching down from heaven, very strong, mighty, kind of muscular angel reaching down with a sword. And the sword was going right down into the Houses of Parliament, right into the debating chamber, and then swirling, and then just going round and around. The sword was going round and around in the debating chamber, causing a swirling and a kind of lack of clarity. It was quite a vivid picture, but I shared it with a few people, and it encouraged us. We thought, well, God's here. And it was almost like God was saying, enough's enough. I've come down with my sword of truth. Anyway, as we prayed, the part of the bill that we were praying for was actually has been temporarily dropped and will be revisited, but at least it's been temporarily dropped. But I think that picture helped me, may hope it helped others to pray, to get a kind of spiritual sense of what God was doing. So I think God's vision, actually, it's for encouragement. It's to help us to pray. It's to help us to live in the world, but, you know, seeing things through God's eyes and his perspective. I just encourage everybody to ask God to increase your spiritual 2020 vision, to have our eyes open, to lift our eyes up to the hills, as they say. Where does my help come from? It comes from the hills. And I think when we see what God's doing in the world today, because he's doing so much, we begin to beat with his heartbeat, and we begin to become part of his purposes, his bigger purposes in the nation, in our nation, in our towns, and globally. So be expectant, but just watch out for cheese sandwiches.
Thanks, Jane. That's great. Fantastic. Appreciate your encouragement and insights. I had first-hand experience. You reminded me telling your story about Africa in 1993. I was out there with a friend and we were up in the Shimba Hills in little villages, and we showed the Jesus film, and people came from nowhere, hundreds of people, and watched the film. Very, very powerful, very, very moving. So thanks for sharing that and all the other things that you've shared to lift our sights, to look through God's perspective. We're going to head to our groups.